of the phrase, and then you get to Madrid on Saturday, sort of chopped up, because those are coming out as you go through a machine like that. There are better ways of doing it now, but that's essentially how a lot of that stuff is put together in canned phrases that come out of finite state machines. So, what I want to do before we get to those real sorts of languages is to look at simple examples of computer sorts of languages, or even just artificial languages. So this is a definition of what we mean by a decimal number. So somebody tell me what a decimal number is.
It's a number base 10. You have 10 symbols which you can represent each number. So
each digit, yep.
So we need, one digit can represent up to 10 numbers, and two digits can represent up to 10 to the power of 2 numbers.
Right. And now, if I write something down and I say, is that a decimal number? What do you check?
I'm checking it's a decimal number. But you can check.
Well, if I write down,
if it can be decomposed into like 10 to the power of positive numbers plus 10 to the power of negative indices, you know, so because the 10 to the power of negative 1 and 10 to the power of negative 2, that would be the
number. Right.
Okay.
So I wasn't being very precise, and you're absolutely right. So there are the numbers out there. Can I write this exactly as a decimal number? That's a question about a number. At the moment, I'm really just thinking about writing something down, like, as it were, does this look like a telephone number, or does this look like an email address? Or does this look like a decimal number? I'm not thinking of the mathematical notion of number, but rather the way we write things. Okay?
And then you see when you can't be sure this one. If you see, for example, 10, it could be 10, it could be 2 in binary language, it could be 3 in, base 3, it could be...
It could indeed be all of those things, but... So there's a question of, once I've got a number and decided it is a whatever it is, then I have to decide what interpretation am I going to give, what semantics will I give to it, and that's an important point. But I just want to do the simple bit of, there are some things, if I write down A2, is it a decimal number?
No.
If I write down 1.0, is it a decimal number? You see? So no. But if I write down 1.0, you'd probably all say yes.
But if there's something after the zero.
Not necessarily. You don't have to have something after the zero.
He's looking for something.
What if I just write down... He's just trying to be difficult. That's all right. You're doing a very good job. What if I write down 1 dot? Is that a decimal number? Yeah, you see, it could be or it might not be. And when we're dealing with computer programs, one of the things is, if it could be or it might not be, the person that wrote the program probably didn't think exactly the same way as you think, and you get bugs because people try and put things in which don't fit the program. So what we do is we define what we will count as a decimal number. You could have a different definition, you'd be writing slightly different programs. It might be just as good, it might even be better. But you need a nice way of writing down so that everyone can say, these are the numbers we'll consider as decimal numbers for the purposes of these programs, or for the purposes of the internet. Actually, there are things written down saying, this is what a decimal number is for the purposes of the internet. And ultimately, the way they're written is by writing down finite state machines. So what does this say? This says, I start here. That's what that S is. And now, if I go there, what happens? Right. So I can put a plus or a minus sign and start from here, or I can put just a digit That's what D is standing for, and get to here. Then I can have any number of digits going around this circle, right? And then I could have a dot. And then any number of digits here, and at least one digit. So I've said, what have I said about the question of, is one dot a decimal number here? According to this, it's not, right? We would write it differently if we wanted to make that. Now, so I've explained most of this. What hasn't been explained so far? That funny loop up at the top. So I'll come back to that in a second, but first bit is that's where we start. The other thing I haven't explained is this notation, which I did use on the previous slide. We often put this when we're trying to say what strings will we accept, what numbers will we accept in this case, but what paths through the machine will we accept. We say, well, we'll accept any path that starts from the starting state, which is the one that we've got an arrow coming into, and ends up in what's called the end state. Okay? You could have more than one ending state.
Can we refer to those as differently? Because I think other books refer to those as like initial state and final state.
Initial and final's fine. That's also okay. Yep, that's fine. So that's the start and the end, or the initial and final. That's absolutely fine. So, and we see in this example quite a few things that we do find you can express with these finite state machines. So you see, here we've said you could have a plus, then a digit, or you could have just a digit there. Right, so we've got alternative paths. We've got this thing of repetition, which you've actually used twice. Arbitrary repetition. And the final thing is, what that little symbol up there is, really you could almost leave it out, but conventionally we put this, it means empty, right? It's a Greek E, an epsilon. It's empty. You don't produce anything when you go there. You just jump. So you can skip without outputting anything, without generating anything. So this says, points aren't necessary.
Yeah, well, without the epsilon,
Without the epsilon, it would, and we'd have to have at least one digit after the point. With this definition, I'm not. That may be right, may be wrong. The exercise for you is to draw the diagram for the decimal numbers you want.